Good weather for a rainbow, so take a look toward the mountain before you go. That's the end of it. Looking again at Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, we were talking about Ishvara, remember? The verse was chapter 1, verse 23. Or samadhi is attained through devotion to Ishvara. We talked about that concept in Gurudeva's teachings, that devotion, when someone has devotion, then they become open or sensitive to the grace of Shiva. Without devotion, we can't experience that, so we need to be open to the grace through acquiring devotion. So we'll read the next few verses and comment on them. Ishvara is a distinct Purusha, unaffected by the causes of affliction and the effects of ripening stored karma. So God doesn't have a problem for you. Problem for you. No affliction and no karma. In Ishvara, the seed of omniscience is unsurpassed. But that just means he's all-knowing. Continuous throughout time, Ishvara was also the guru of those who lived earlier. So you know how popular the Patanjali Yoga Sutra is. Sutras are in presenting yoga to Westerners, so this particular section of it creates some interesting translations. The way I put it here is, this statement drives the Western translators crazy. Because there's no doubt in the way yoga is taught in the West. So here's two creative translations. Realization, well, remember how it reads here. Or samadhi is attained through devotion to Ishvara. It is straightforward. Realization may also come if one is oriented toward the ideal of pure awareness. What does that mean? Oriented for devotion, oriented in pure awareness for Ishvara. There's another one. It is done with sincerity and dedication towards the untainted creative source of pure consciousness. Oh, creative translations. Here's one that's from the Vedanta perspective. The one, How to Know God is the name of that they use. Om Prabhavananda. Here, for the first time, is the way he translates it. Concentration may also be attained through devotion to Ishvara. Straightforward. Here, for the first time, Patanjali introduces the idea of God. According to Vedanta philosophy, Ishvara is the supreme ruler of the universe, its creator, sustainer, and dissolver. Brahman, the ultimate reality, cannot properly be said to create, sustain, or dissolve, since Brahman is by definition without attributes. Ishvara is Brahman seen with prakriti. What is important is the concept of devotion. Liberation, as we have already seen, can be reached without devotion to God, but this is a subtle and dangerous path, threading its way through the pitfalls of ambition and pride. Nicely said. Mm-hmm. Devotion to a personal ideal of God brings with it a natural inclination to humility and service, something we've been talking about regularly. What's the benefit of the theism? Humility is the benefit of theism. It sweetens the dryness of intellectual discrimination and calls forth the highest kind of love of which man is capable. We cannot even imagine Brahman until the moment of our liberation, but we can all imagine Ishvara according to our different natures. For Ishvara has attributes which our minds can recognize. Ishvara is all that we can know of the reality until we pass beyond Prakriti. We set ourselves to serve Ishvara. If we dedicate our actions and surrender our wills to him, we shall find that he draws us to himself. This is the grace of God, which Sri Ramakrishna compared to an ever-flowing breeze. You have only to raise your sail in order to catch it. It's a good one for the life. So in terms of definitions, homolexicon, Ishvaran, first meaning, Talibara, chief, leader, head, lord. Second meaning, Kadavu, the Almighty. Third meaning, Shiva. Well, that's what Ishvara means in Tamil lexicon. I think Gurudeva's definition of Parameshvara really brings it all to life in a nice way. Parameshvara means the same thing as Ishvara. Supreme Lord or Ruler. God Shiva in his third perfection as Supreme Mahadeva, Shiva Shakti, Mother of the Universe. In this perfection, as personal Father, Mother, God, Shiva is a person who has a body with head, arms, and legs, etc., who acts, wills, blesses, gives darshana, guides, creates, preserves, reabsorbs, obscures, and enlightens. In truth, it is Shiva Shakti who does all. The term primal soul, Paramapurusha, designates Parameshvara as the original, uncreated soul, the creator of all other souls. Well, it's a nice detailed description, isn't it? So this one, again, back to the last verse we read. Continuous throughout time, Ishvara was also the guru of those who lived earlier. Well, clearly, in saying that, Patanjali is telling us Ishvara has the ability to communicate with us. Can't be a guru to those who lived earlier if you can't talk to them in some way. So showing that Shiva's grace manifests in providing teachings, spiritual teachings, to those who are advanced enough to receive them from him. But then in doing some research on this for another talk, I noted that the teachings of Hatha Yoga relate to Shiva as Ishvara. Well, you don't normally relate Hatha Yoga to Shiva, right? It is said that the first guru, Matsyendranatha, learned the Hatha Yoga practices from Shiva himself in the form of Adinatha. This is made reference to in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, first verse of which reads, salutation to Adinatha, Shiva, who expounded the knowledge of Hatha Yoga, which like a staircase leads the aspirant to the high pinnacle Raja Yoga. So that's interesting. Shiva is responsible for it all, huh? So, have a wonderful day.